Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Amen. What a wonderful truth and song. Amen. I trust you know something about that peace and that joy that comes from serving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house?
Amen.
Amen. It sure is. My heart has just experienced so many blessings and emotions this morning. The presence of the Lord will do that. It'll humble you. It'll excite you. It will fire you up. It will cause you to become introspective and take a look at your own heart. It will remind you of the hearts and the needs of others. The Word of God and the presence of God just gets your heart in motion. Amen. I hope your heart's in motion. But just for a few moments, I'm going to ask you to try to direct all that activity in your heart toward the Word of God. And allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart about allowing God to do something in your heart this morning. We have met here to worship Him. And as we worship Him, I pray that God would remind us that He has called us to a work. See, it all begins with worship. I'm going to just talk just a few moments tonight about the importance. Brother Hall will be bringing some truth, and I want to bring a truth about the importance of not just trying to get into a work. God will call you to worship before He calls you to work. Say, well, God's seeking workers. He's seeking worshipers too. He sure is. And when you get to working, it'll be because you've been walking and because you've been worshiping. God has an order in which he wants to use you. Now, here in Mark chapter number 6, we've been talking, we said just a couple of weeks ago, you know, we're going to talk this year about miracles in Sunday morning services. And a lot of people have quit believing in miracles. Well, you're looking at a man who is a miracle. By the way, if you're saved, you're a miracle. Say amen with me. You're a walking, talking miracle. God did a miracle in your heart and life if you're saved in the grace of God. And I'm afraid that we're living in a society that has discounted miracles. And they say, well, you know, they've made being saved and church and the Bible and God, they've said it's non-essential. Say, preacher, what do you think is essential? Well, it really doesn't matter what I think is essential. What is essential is essential. It's not my place to tell you what's essential and what's not. God has said what's essential. God has put what's essential. He's put a stamp on what's essential. There's a lot of things that you might think is essential that's not. And there may be something you might not think is essential, but it is. You see, when you get in touch with the God of heaven, he'll get your priorities straight. He'll get your perspective where it needs to be. I want you to notice with me in Mark chapter number 6. Last week, we talked about the man whom Jesus, he approached there at the porches at Bethesda. And the scripture said this, that the Lord Jesus looked to him and he asked him a question. A man had been infirm for 38 years, remember? And he said, wilt thou be made whole? What a question. He asked him, do you want to be made well? And we talked about why would God ask someone that question? And then I reminded you, and I had to be reminded by the Holy Ghost of heaven, there's a lot of people God's been asking that question for longer than 38 years, and they still haven't said yes, right? And so now, I want us to look at kind of the flip side of that. People who tie the hands of God, I want to talk to you about that. And I don't want you to tie the hands of God. And I don't want to tie the hands of God. You say, well, preacher, we can't tie God up. Well, the Bible teaches that the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, you can limit God. You know, God can do whatever he chooses to do. Well, I understand that. I understand that God will do whatever he chooses to do. But I'm going to talk to you today about what God can do. And sometimes what God can do is what you allow him to do. We're going to see that in this passage of Scripture today. Now, I want you to look carefully with me, and we'll navigate down through these verses. And there's some things that I want you to notice with me. Very important. Here is the Lord Jesus returning to his hometown, returning to the town of Nazareth. Now, Jesus had been to Nazareth one time before, at least one time before. His last time that he was there in Nazareth is recorded in Luke chapter number 4. We're going to turn there in just a moment. You can go ahead and find your place there, and then we'll come back and finish here in Mark chapter number 6 and look through these verses. Now, when Jesus went to Nazareth the first time, he received a very cold reception, all right? And you would think, I don't know if you've ever been to preach at other churches, those of you who are preachers, I don't know if you've been to a family's residence who you received a cold reception. Maybe it's while you're out soul winning and you received a very cold reception. All right? I mean, people were just cold towards you. And they were just crude and rude. Well, the Lord Jesus got that treatment the last time he was in Nazareth. As a matter of fact, it got physical. All right? Now, he was there on a spiritual journey, but it turned physical. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 4. In verse number 15 is where we'll start our reading. In Luke chapter number 4, in verse number 15, it says, And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified in all. Now, this is the purpose of the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you it's the purpose of the church too? The Word of God. Listen, the purpose of the church is not entertainment. I thought about this. I thought about why our churches are dying. Our churches are dying because the Word of God's not being preached. The Word of God stirs people up. Say amen. Listen, when we meet here, the emphasis is on the Word of God. Amen. That's where it's at, brother. Amen. The Word of God. You say, well, preacher, you know, I like this and I like that. It's not about what you like. It's about what we need. Amen. We need some good, straight, strong, Spirit-filled preaching of the Word of God. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. So that's what's going to be good for us. If we only got what we wanted, we'd all be off rail. We'd all be in a bad way. Because, see, sometimes we don't know what we really want. We don't know what we really need, but God knows. And God said, what you need, what I need, what we need is the preaching of the Word of God. Well, I don't like preaching. Well, there's something wrong with you. You're broke. You're broke. And you need to get that taken care of. It may be that you've never been born again. Because when I got saved in the grace of God, God put a desire in my heart for a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. How about you? And God's been steady feeding me the milk and the manna and the meat of the Word of God. It's like honey. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. So here's what the Scripture says. Jesus was teaching in their synagogues. Then verse number 16 says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Now you know this, right? You know he had been reared up there in Nazareth. Now I want you to think about this, your hometown. Now for many of you, Madison is your hometown. There's Culpeper. There's Orange. There's surrounding counties here. Now I'm from out of this and I'm from out of the area. But I did come up in a smaller town, okay? Now it's gotten bigger since I left. You know, what's that say? But it's gotten bigger since I've left. It was a metropolitan area, and it's just exploded since my family and I moved here in 1999. Now, you come from a small town, some of you from the little town of Madison. You know how everybody knows everything, right? I mean, everybody knows everything in a little small town. So I want you to think about this. Here's what the Scripture says. While Jesus was in Nazareth, the Scripture says he was brought up there in verse 16, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. I'm just going to make a statement here because I have people all the time tell me, well, you know, preacher, church is not important. Well, it is important. It's very important. Very important. Hey, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, you have to go to church to be like Jesus. Amen. See, that's what we need to get concerned about, being like Jesus. Now, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Hell, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven. Well, you might be right there. You, as a matter of fact, you can get saved. The thief on the cross got saved, as far as I know, never attended a day in the church house. Never went to a synagogue. But now, if you want to be like Jesus, as his custom was, you're going to have to get in the church.
Amen.
Amen. And unite yourself there and get with God's people and sit under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Use your talent and your ability that God's given you. That's right. And so the Bible says right here that he stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him in verse 17 the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. What a prophecy was fulfilled that day. Amen. And he said so. The Scripture says in verse number 20, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now I want you to put yourself there. And then you've read with me what took place that day. And you would have thought the people would have just would fell down and said, Hosanna. Hosanna. They would have worshipped him, but quite the contrary happened. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 20, they took Jesus as being just another person. You know, we've heard from our missionary friends from time to time, they'll come in and say, you know, in many of the countries, Jesus is just another God. He's just another one of the 100, 200, 500, 1,000. He's just another God to put on a shelf. But I got to tell you, Jesus is not that. He's not that. Not because I said so, but because the Bible says so. And the Bible is the Word of God, and the Bible is always right. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Now, what they said was this. Look in verse number 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Wait a minute here. Hey, man, this guy's been, you know, he's a little small town. We've kind of seen him down there working with his dad down at the shop. Right? Maybe he fabricated and put together some woodwork for them. Maybe a yoke. Or a plow, I don't know. And they say, wait a minute, now hold it. Is this him? Isn't this Jesus? This is Joseph's son? Verse number 23, he said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And then he began to tell them that a prophet is without honor, is not accepted. Now at the close of this, the Bible says in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, now I want you to notice this, all of them, all of them that were at church that day, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And the scripture says in verse number 29, they rose up and thrust him out of the city. It got physical in church that Sunday. All right? Saturday. If you want to go back to this day. It got physical. And they took the speaker that day who read, and they laid their hands on him. And the Bible says they took him outside of town because they were full of wrath. And they took him to the brow in verse number 29 of the hill whereof their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And Jesus miraculously passed through their midst because his hour was not yet come. And so that's when he was in Nazareth on this occasion. Now, if you'll turn back just a moment to Mark chapter number 6, we're going to navigate through those six verses of Scripture with that as a backdrop for us. Now, if I do my timetables correctly, it's been about a year later now. All right, so a year later, the Lord Jesus passes through Nazareth again. Now, don't forget what I just read to you. Right? I mean, he went, the time was, it appears to be at the very beginning of his ministry, and he read that scripture in Isaiah, how God's providence. I don't have time to get into all the background of how they had daily scriptural reading in the synagogue, and how that it was Jesus, how he was there to read that. God had it all lined up, all right? God gets involved in the affairs of this world. He does, and he works out details. He'll work out details in our lives if we will allow him to. And so the scripture says this. It says now in verse number 1 of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Mark, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. So now he's began his earthly ministry. He's called his disciples. And he says, you know what? I'm going to pass back through Nazareth. Now, the word patience, and I think Sister Nora brought it up, patience, long-suffering, was brought up. So I want you to remember this, okay, about God. The God that we worship, the God that we're here to worship today is a patient God. All right? If God were not patient, now please hear me now. If God were not patient, you wouldn't be here this morning. None of us would be. Well, if we got our just due, we'd all be in hell, brethren. Listen, God is patient, and I'm so thankful to God that he's patient. And the scripture says that Jesus passed back through his hometown. The last time he was there, they said, you know what, we want to kill you. We want to kill you. And they took him out. They would have. They would have. It was in their heart to do it. But his hour was not yet come. And he got away, and he slipped through the mist. And he says, you know what, I'm going back. Now, what's this tell us? It tells me that God is patient. And it tells me that I need to remember that God is patient in my life. That God is patient, and I don't want to presume upon the grace of God. We heard in Sunday school this morning about the grace of God and how thankful I am for the grace of God. How about you? The good grace of God, brethren. But can I tell you, don't you presume upon the grace of God. God help me not to presume upon the grace of God. Yes, God is patient. Yes, God did pass back through Nazareth. But that doesn't mean that God will continue to pass. Can I tell you, this may have been, and if it wasn't, I don't know. The scripture may record maybe one more time that he passed through, but there was a time when Jesus passed through Nazareth for the last time. I want you to understand that. While God is not willing that any should perish, one day the door of grace will shut. One day, the day of opportunity for your life will close on you, and God will say, done. So now, you be careful about presuming on the grace of God now. I'm glad God is patient, and he was patient, and he passed through, and I just want to bless his name that God has been patient with me, and God has been patient with you, and perhaps God has been patient with that person you've been ministering to. Our brother this morning talked about one disciple. And I've encouraged and I've challenged you to find a family, one family in 2021, one family that you will disciple, that you will minister to, that you will groom, that you will mentor, that you will help them to grow in their faith or either bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. And so as I look at this and I see where he, in verse number 1, it says, and he went out from thence and came to his own country. One more time. Perhaps this time they'll receive me. Perhaps this time they'll be one. You know, I don't know that what, there's not somebody here today like that. Right? See, God has passed by your way. I think that, you know, it's amazing. We heard this morning again how that the devil is good at what he does. And one of the things the devil will do is make us familiar. And we're going to see that in just a moment, the familiarity that they had with God and his way, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful, we'll come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday and special meetings, and we'll think, you know what? This is going to just always be. I'm just going to always have an opportunity to go to church. We heard Brother David stand up here and talk about how that there's persecution in India. And brethren, I want to tell you, it's coming to a town near you. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to warn you. I'm trying to alert you. I'm trying to alarm you that there are times that are coming upon this earth that we know very little about. We've read in the scripture, but I don't know that our minds can comprehend the darkness that's getting ready to spread over this earth. The perilous times that's getting ready to come from a country, from a world that hates God and wants nothing to do with what God said in his word. God said, I'll be patient. But one day, just as that door was shut on the ark, the door on the grace of God, and this dispensation of grace is going to be shut now. I don't know that what God is not saying to somebody here today. Maybe someone listening by live stream. I don't know. But don't you presume now, well, you know what? I'll just put it off into a more convenient season. I'll do it another time. Well, you may, but you may not. Well, I think we're just going to kind of hang around the house this Sunday and maybe we'll go to church next Sunday. Got a lot going on. Well, you might. You might, you see. See, we just presume like that, don't we? We just presume that it's always going to be because it always has been. And maybe that's what this town was presuming on. Now, Jesus was patient, and I thank God that he was. But something else that God is, and I like this now. Listen, I'm thankful that Jesus is patient. The scripture says, look at verse number 6, chapter 6, verse number 1, I'm sorry, that he went into his own country again. He was patient with them. Look at verse number 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in their synagogue. Amen. He's persistent, right? Aren't you glad God's persistent? I thank God for that. I thank God that God didn't just speak to me one time and said, all right, son, you didn't get saved. That's it. Now, God just stayed after me. Amen. Aren't you glad God stays after you? I thank God that God stays after me. Now, I'm not talking about just before I got saved. God stayed after me before he brought me to himself, and I thank God that he did. But since I've been saved, can I tell you, God has stayed after me. I thank God for that. I thank God that God stays after me. That God is persistent with me. And God will tell me, no, you're not going to turn that way. And no, you're not going to turn that way. I want you going this way, son. I want you going this way. Amen. You're mine now. You don't belong to yourself. I thank God for his correction. I thank God for his chastisement. Say, oh, preacher, tell us about the love of God. I am telling you about the love of God. Whom he loveth, he chasteneth. See, we don't like that part about his love. But can I tell you, I thank God for it. I'm glad for the times that God has said, no, you're not going to do that. No, you're not going to go that way. I've called you to go this way. You belong to me now. And this is what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. Persistence. Persistence. Well, and a preacher, I'm going to live my life my way. Well, you'll never do it happily. You may sin, but you can't do it happily. Well, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Well, there might be a little pleasure in it, but there's no joy in it. You hear me now. I'm going to live my life my way. Perhaps the folks in this town thought that. We're going to do without Jesus. Well, Jesus was persistent. He went back. I'm glad Jesus comes back. I'm glad that when people tell Jesus, we don't want anything to do with you, when people tell Jesus, get out, I'm glad he comes back. How about you? Someone ever told you to get out and you went back? Have you set aside your pride and went back to them? You know, there's some folks sitting in the church today, that if someone didn't exercise a little patience and persistence, you wouldn't be here. Had you stayed gone when they told you to get gone, they wouldn't be here today. Aren't you glad that God is patient and persistent? Oh, preacher, I didn't need that. I've always walked the line. Yeah, I know. I see the halo on your head. No, there's none of us. Listen, we all need God to stay after us. Amen? We all need God to help us and to groom us and to guide us. And so here, I find out some things about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he was patient. Just because they wanted to kill him. And listen, that's serious business. He went back. Some folks pull up to a yard and just because they've got a sign now. A sign. They don't see the dog. Just a sign. Beware of the dog. Well, we can't go there. A sign. Hadn't seen an animal. A sign. Now, I know what some of you is going to do. You're going to say, I'll show the preacher. You're going to go walking in. You're going to get attacked by a dog and blame it on me. Hey, listen. We let the least little things keep us from doing what God's called us to do. And I'm just trying to alert you and to shake you and awaken me and you to the fact that God is patient. And he'll pass back through. But now one day is going to be the last time. So don't presume upon his grace now. Don't get so familiar that you think, well, I'll just go on down to Fellowship Baptist Church anytime. I'll just serve God when I get good and ready. I'll take a few months off and then hop right back in there. You never go away from God without it costing you something. All right? So number one, the reason of his visit was to show these people that God is gracious and patient and kind and persistent. But now let's look at their reaction. All right, look at this with me just for a moment. His persistence. The scripture said, or the reaction of the people. In verse number 3, look at what it says. Is not this the carpenter? Same thing they had said last time. But he changed. He changed. Notice what they said. The last time they said the son, verse number 3, the last time they said the son of Joseph. But this time they said the son of Mary. You know why? There could be several reasons why. Could be that Joseph passed. Some people believe that Joseph did pass early in Jesus' life. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to figure it out. Amen? But now there's a reason they said this. It could be because they didn't want to listen to anything he had to say, and so they tried to find fault with him. Oh, yeah, that's that illegitimate son of Mary. Huh? Right? Oh, yeah, we know him. Yeah, that virgin-born guy. The virgin-born kid on the block. Right? Crude and curt. Rude. And so they're trying to discredit him. Why? Because they didn't want to follow him. They didn't want to listen to him. They wanted to get to a place in their minds where they could justify not following the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope no one here this morning is that way. Whether it be the preacher, the church, the way that things are done, you know, aren't we just that way? Aren't we just apt to do stuff like that? Come on, folks. Well, you know, I think I'm just going to quit church. Why? Well, they took up an offering down there, and I'm against offerings. Well, that's no reason to quit church. Well, I think I'm going to quit church, and the list could go on. You don't quit church because of that. I think I'm going to quit serving God. No. Well, that's just what that preacher believes. See, we've heard all of this stuff. We've become familiar. And so we come to church, we hear truth, we know some things, and then we start trying to pick it apart and say, you know, this is why I'm not going to do that. That's that preacher's interpretation, right? Come on, folks. So, well, you know, that's what he believes. That's what that missionary believes. That's what that preacher believes. That's what that Sunday school teacher believes. Can I tell you something? If it's written in this book, you better believe it. Because you're going to answer to it one day. Quit trying to find out what's wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with what's in this book. If there's wrong, it's the way you perceive it, not the way that God gave it. And so the scripture says here in verse number 3, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, this is the way they received him. See, the reason he went was to show them, listen, I care about you. You're my hometown. I love you. I want to make a difference in your life. God is speaking to somebody here today, maybe by live stream. Listen, God is speaking today and he's telling you, I love you. I've always loved you. And I will always love you. I care about you. I want to help you. But you just keep pushing back and pushing back. I don't know why. Maybe it's because these folks, they've become so familiar with church and preaching. I pray to God that there's not someone here this morning that you've just done, quote unquote, the church thing to where it bores you. So, preacher, I don't get excited when I come to church. You ought to be excited before you get here. Amen. We've got so much to thank God for, we ought to skip across the parking lot. Say amen with me. Amen. We've got so much to thank God for, we ought to sing and praise God walking in the door. Amen. Say, well, preacher, we come here to worship God. Bring worship with you, amen. Bring worship with you. Amen. Get up and get in tune with God and get in touch with God. When you come in the door, say, praise his holy name. God is worthy. I'm alive. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. My sins are forgiven. Amen. Woo! You ought to get excited about being a Christian. You ought to be excited about breathing air and eating food and good night's rest. Listen, we have so much to thank God for. And if we're not careful, we'll take it all for granted and we'll get like these folks and Jesus will be just like the guy next door and church will be the same old. We'll come and sit there, can't get a holy grunt out of some folks. Listen, hey, I'm not complaining, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying don't you let what God has in store for you pass you by because you become familiar with it and miss it. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. Well, preacher, I've got all my life. And how long is that?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, you can't prove I won't be here tomorrow, and you can't prove you will. So please listen to me. I'm trying to help. I need help. You need help. We need God to help us. So the Lord Jesus, the reason that he came through was to say, listen, work with me. Didn't work out that first time around. I don't think they invited him back. I think he just went. I'll be patient with you. But I'm going to be persistent. I'm not going to change what you need. I'm still going to give you the word. Amen. God doesn't change to meet our every whim. Right? He gave them the word. They didn't like it. They kicked him out. He went back because he was patient. But he gave them the word again because he was persistent. God's not going to change that, brethren. Now, their reaction was not good at all. Their reaction is, in verse number 3, the latter part of it, they were offended at him. Offended. As a matter of fact, part of their reaction in verse number 2, look at this, what the scripture says. In verse number 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in their synagogue. Now, look at this next phrase here in verse number 2. And many, hearing him, were astonished. Y'all look that word up. It means, it's like, it's as if you slap somebody in the face. I mean, it stunned them. They were astounded. Wait a minute. Whoa. What is this? Who is this? I'm glad the Word of God will reach out and get your attention like that, aren't you?
Amen.
It will. But they were offended at it. You know, if you are sitting under the sound of my voice today, whether it be live stream, whether it be in the sanctuary, if you've sinned under Bible truth in your lifetime, you ought to find you a place alone today and get on your face before God and say, God, I thank you that you revealed yourself to me. There'll be spaces of time in my life that I go through and I don't give thought to God manifesting himself to me, and the Holy Spirit of God will remind me, son, remember where you were when I showed you who I am.
Amen.
Oh, my. It smites me in my heart, and it reminds me of what would and could have been had it not been for the patience and the persistence and the good grace of Almighty God in my life. God sought me. I didn't go looking for God. You didn't either. God came to you, revealed Himself to you, showed you who He was, showed you yourself as you are and what your need was, and then met it because He cares enough. So if you're saved today now, you need to find you a place somewhere. May even be right now. And just get on your face before the Lord and say, God, thank you so much for revealing yourself to me. Some people don't even, they've never even heard the name of Jesus. And here you have entered into a personal relationship to God through Him. Well, let's close this out. We see the reaction. Their initial reaction was they were astonished. Why? Because they had taken Jesus as just another guy. You know how small towns are. Just another guy. Yeah, let's go down and get Joseph and his boy down there to make us a yoke. And then perhaps Joseph moved off the scene and Jesus took the family business. I don't know. And they just got him to do things for him. They knew him, not as the carpenter's son here. As the carpenter. Look at what it says again in verse number 3. Is not this the carpenter? Not the carpenter's son any longer. The carpenter. It doesn't work for him. They'd become familiar with him. It's like he's done work for you on a spiritual realm, on a whole nother level. He's done work for you. He's been involved in your life. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we'll begin to become buddies and take things familiar with a holy God. When we need to, in humility, approach Him and realize our dependence on Him. And because of the way they approached Him and because of their reaction to Him, it really hurt them. And I don't want to get there, but you know what? I could. And then finally, the Scripture says this. In verse number 4, Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin, and in his own house. He said, you know, you just take things for granted. You become familiar. Man stand up and preach the truth of the Word of God. And listen, we all can, it can happen. Some of you, from the day you were born, you've heard nothing but Bible truth preached. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Praise God for it. But now don't become familiar. Don't take it for granted. Some folks, you were up in age before you were ever exposed to Bible preaching and Bible truth. But either way, be thankful for it. Now let's look at the final thought here. What was the result of this? And this is where I want to grab your attention. I want you to think with me for a moment. God wants to do something in your life. If I were to ask you now, I believe I'm right here. If I'm not, I'll give you an opportunity to prove me wrong. If I were to say, how many people in the building today believe that God can still work miracles? I believe every one of you would raise your hand. I believe you would. As a matter of fact, I could probably say, how many people in the building today that God has done a miracle in your life? And I believe most, if not all of you, could raise your hand. I know if you're saved, I know you could. But now, here's the question that I want to ask you. How many of you are expecting God to do a miracle in your life today? See, because that's where we're living. See, I don't want to go back to what God has done. I thank God for what He's done. But I don't want to live on yesterday's manna. Can I tell you God has something fresh for us today? Can I tell you that if all we do is look back on what God has done and we don't live in the present and we don't see what God can do, we'll drop and down the vine. These people had become so familiar with the presence of Jesus and with Him being there and with what was going on that they just took it for granted. And notice what the Scripture says here in verse number 5. It says, and He could there do no mighty work. Now I have could underlined. I want you to underline it in your Bible. Didn't say He would there do no mighty work. Oh, He would have. He went there to do a mighty work. But He couldn't. You know why? He tells them why. In verse number 5, it says he could there in verse number 5 do no mighty work save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Thank God, in spite of their unbelief, God still done some work. But nothing like what he could have done. And so here is the thought of the message. What is God doing in your life? Is it all that he could do? Is it? You know, I thought about people's epitaph. One day when you pass, you're going to have something engraved on your tombstone. I remember one lady, her husband never believed she was sick, and he always thought she was faking. That's a true story. And so we were out, Sharon and I were visiting one day, and she was sick, and she was telling us she was sick, and he said, she ain't sick. I mean, again, he said that every time. And she said, one day when I die, I'm going to have on my epitaph, I told you I was sick. Look at this. He could there do no mighty work. I sure hope that's not what's on my epitaph. I hope that's not the epitaph that's written over my life. I want to do something in your life, son, but I can't. Why? Your unbelief won't allow me to. Your unbelief. That's what it says. He said, listen, in verse number 6, it says, and he marveled because of their unbelief. You see that in verse number 6? Can I tell you, if you look up the word marveled in verse number 6 and you look up the word astonished in verse number 2, you'll get pretty much the same root word. Isn't that amazing how they were astonished at each other that day? They were astonished at Jesus' teaching. He was astonished because they didn't believe it. Right? Can I tell you that that's the way we sit in church many times? We're astonished. Man gets up and presents truth and we say, wow, I've never seen that before. Wow, I've never heard that presented that way before. And God goes, wow, they're not doing it. They got wowed when they heard it. And now God's going, wow, because they don't believe it. Oh, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I just don't. To where I hear something, I say, man, that's moving. Can I tell you, this morning when Brother Hall was up here teaching, I mean, the wheels were turning in my soul, my mind. But I don't want that all to be that turns. I want faith to begin to be generated, and I want to begin to rely and depend, watch it now, and expect God to do something with what I've heard. I want to put it into practice. It's not enough just to be wowed by what we hear and how we hear it. You want to wow God? As you stand to your feet, turn, if you would, to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 8. Stand and turn to Matthew 8. You say, I can't stand and turn at the same time. Well, turn and then stand, or stand and then turn. Amen? I can't help it you have these physical problems. So here we are. The reason that Jesus went through that town is because he loves us. He's patient with us. He's persistent. He cares. And I'm glad that he doesn't just cast us to the side and say, well, you know what? I worked with you a time or two, and I'm done with you. I'm glad that God keeps the clay on the potter's wheel, aren't you? Amen. Thank God for that. The reason he went through is, well, patience and persistence. The result was, well, they missed an opportunity for sure. They were offended. They're offended at him. Well, they were wowed, but it turned into criticism and curtness, and they just tried to find fault in him because they didn't want to do it. And then the result is that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do any mighty work there. See, God wants to do a mighty work in your life, in your life, in your life. He wants to do a mighty work in the Hall's ministry. He wants to do a mighty work in every Bible-believing minister there is, and will do a mighty work. But we have to allow him to. Right? God wants to do a mighty work in your life, in your home, in your family. There's families that are represented here today. You need a mighty work. Maybe your help, I don't know what it is. Maybe in your own spiritual walk with God, you need God to do something mighty in your life. But Jesus was wild because of their unbelief. Here's a situation in Matthew chapter 8. Look at it if you would. In Matthew chapter 8, look at verse number 10. And I won't go into this because I'm not going to preach a second message. But the scripture says in verse number 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He wowed. Why? Because he said unto that centurion there, he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The only time that I can tell in all the scripture that Jesus was wild was these two times. He was wild because of no faith and unbelief, and he was wild because of great faith and an expectancy. You say an expectancy? Yeah, this man told him, you don't have to come to my home, just say the word. Amen. I expect to go home to a healed son. What are you expecting out of God today? What are you expecting? Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to come.